Hello, hello, hello. Hey, everyone. Yours truly, Angie McDonald. Another week. Wounded to Wonderful with yours truly. You are tuned in to episode 8, and I'm just going to go straight into it. I'm glad you're with me another time. I'm inspired. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk to you. And of course, I'm your grief support, resilience, and transitional coach, as well as your consultant with I Am Consulting. But today, I want to definitely bring you into the realms of what resilience is all about, is by being able to talk about the hard stuff, to have some hard discussions, to face some hard truths that we encounter individually, and I know for a fact collectively. Today's topic was inspired and pretty much less than 24 hours before the airing of this podcast. Typically, that's how majority of my talks, my individual talks come. I'm inspired either on the point right before I hit record, a few hours before, but no more than 24 hours out of airing a new episode. And this particular one was inspired by the fact of, a new era that I'm taking in approaching my coaching business as well as my consultancy in regards to ensuring the level of confidence, readiness, stability, and intention that my clients on either side, whether they're my coaching clients or my consultant clients, if they're ready to take on what they've been challenged with and given the unction or given the authority to begin. If you've been given a dream, goal, task, divine, or just inspired, there are going to be times when you're going to question your ability to perform, to be unique, be significant, to have your own rhythm. You know, I like to talk about you having your own rhythm, dancing to your own rhythm, and of course, expressing in the realm of your own fingerprint, as unique and significant it may be from person to person. Are you able to express that gift, express that passion, that business, that brand with a level of uniqueness that's unbothered by what's out there? And if you're able to do so, and if you're able to win, are you able to clap for others while you're, building your own empire or building your own brand? That's the thing that I want us to have a discussion about today. I've been dealing with, especially having co-authored a book about cultural experiences and bridging the gaps from one culture to the next. Coming from the culture that I was born and raised in, we are, born and raised to be driven, resilient, ambitious, busy, and just to take, to roll with the punches. To take it as it comes, but to build something beautiful out of it. And I'm grateful for what that has taught me, what I've learned and how it has taught me to just to stand firm in spite of. But there are also some, things that we need to face culturally, mentally, and emotionally when it comes to finally getting that big break or finally getting to the level of growing, winning, expanding. And that has come to a terminology that I've realized is cultural competition. And because we're a people that are just so strong-willed and so determined, and I'm talking about of the Caribbean diaspora, and, particularly my cultural upbringing is of that of the sweet little island of Jamaica. And yes, we have so many positive, strong, amazing attributes. But there are certain aspects that have been ingrained in us culturally and just, I would say over time that we think is a norm is to be considerably silent when someone is broken out of their bondage and have finally seen the light and are making moves towards greatness. And I'm not sure where it stems from. I'm still trying to put the pieces together, but it is a significant fact that majority of us, I wouldn't put all of us into a box, but it is a permeating idea that we must face. And like I said, as a resilience coach, at times I do have to cut with the right and stitch with the left. Sometimes I have to be that iron fist within the velvet glove. And because we're building resilience at the time, there are some times when we do have to face some hard truths, like I said. So what is it with cultural competition? What does it look like? What is it? What does it sound like? I know some of us have experienced it in many different forms, more ways than one. And it's transcultural. We don't want to give it one particular name. We don't want to consider as if we're bashing anything at all. But it is something that we need to bring to the forefront if we are going to experience exponential growth, if we're going to experience harmony, if we're going to experience unbridled levels of confidence in doing what we have been significantly downloaded and called and inspired to do without wavering. And all of this stems from, it has different terminologies. It stems from, you know, inadequacies that we've been, the rosebuds that in our lives that has been the founding element of certain behaviors that we express as adults. Unresolved issues that we may have encountered and are using it to, create a I told you so type of reality or reaction. Those things they're out there, and I'm not negating that, and it requires for us to have continuous conversations and healing symposiums and just having open dialects and dialogues to be able to say, all right, we see that this is a problem. We see that we are inspiring people in a not so positive way. How can we combat and overcome cultural competition? It also has the look of what they call the imposter syndrome that a lot of us suffer from. And I've almost stepped into those waters. I almost tipped my toes in those waters in my beginning of Wounded to Wonderful, and especially when I launched I Am Consulting. And, you know, I almost felt inadequate. Like, I've been given this specific download for I Am Consulting. And then it branched off into Wounded to Wonderful. And thankfully, with both businesses under that umbrella, I can, you know, interchangeably offer services. But what if I did it this way? What if, you know, I appealed more to this audience? What if I said the things they wanted me to say? Because, you know, they might be younger, they might be fresher, or I might be trying to tap into a more lucrative audience that you know, they don't mind spending. What if I switch it up to appease them? And that can be a thing that we suffer from. So this conversation is going to dibble and dabble between cultural competition and imposter syndrome. And starting off with cultural competition, can we stand to see someone else win? Crickets, crickets. Can we stand to see someone else win? What is your knee-jerk reaction when you see someone launch that business, buy that house, get that car, get that promotion, get that endorsement, get that sponsorship, go to a country you've never been to before, amass a certain amount of things that, you know, you both might have talked about, or you might have seen them not ever possibly having that chance based on circumstances, and boom, they get it. What is your knee-jerk reaction to them and for them? Let that resonate a minute. Think about the time that good friend of yours that you know is having a hard time for a considerable amount of time. And then it's like the heavens opened and things started to happen for that person. What was your knee-jerk reaction? Was it like, oh, why wasn't it me? So like, why did she get it? Or why did he get it? I'm working hard. I make more money. How come I couldn't get it before them? What is your knee-jerk reaction? And what are you working towards? The things you're going for as well. So this is a layered question, right? And I want you to think about it. Thankfully, this is a podcast where you can slow it down. You can have me talking slower with the speed, or you can pause, rewind, touch a button, and it brings it back about a few seconds or a minute. Take a moment and within yourself, ask me, say, hey, me, what's up? How do you feel when someone else wins? And write that down or verbalize it. Answer yourself like, you know what? I kind of held back on my congratulations, or my congratulations weren't too real or significant in expressing it to them. It didn't match the emotion. And if that's a possible reaction that you've had more times than you'd like, then you might have been ingrained with cultural competition, having that tendency to say that you shouldn't have acquired this before me. There's no way you should have gotten this before me. The odds were not in your favor. How dare you? And if you've had to found yourself having to muster up, you know, a form of congratulations or a form of, you know, pat on the back, or I'm happy, proud of you, or if it was delayed longer than it should have. Mind you, the other person would know, but for yourself, this is for you. If you've encountered this and if you've expressed this in any type of way, you may be affected. I'm not going to say you're infected. It's nothing negative that you need, too negative that you need recovery from, but it's just a change in mindset that you've been affected by cultural competition. And in studying the history and the beautiful tapestry, what creates our culture as we know it today, like I said before, it stands on the shoulders of some amazing, resilient, strong, bold, beautiful people that have taught us, whether it's within our family, whether it's the heroes that we have come to know and love and become a part of our history. In the midst of those little shadowed areas, maybe somewhere we've been taught to, you know, only root for your own. Only if it's your win, you shout the loudest. Well, I came to disrupt that because I've experienced it more than I'd like. I've seen it too many times. And from an observer standpoint, it's not conducive to the collective growth that we need to see. When I advocate heal, grow, and discover, this needs to be a conversation that needs to be permeated and needs to be spoken on even more wider platforms and levels and in deeper depth, to bring to the awareness that if we have a problem to see someone winning, we are in an unnecessary cultural competition. So when it comes to that, what do we need to do? What are the questions that we need to really face and tackle and understand? How do we move forward from this? Well, it all comes down to being significantly affirmed in who you are. What are these insecurities that you're still grappling with? What are the narratives that you've been told about anyone else versus yourself? What mindset do you have to perpetuate an idea that someone is undeserving of whatever accolade, next level, reward, award, growth, and just expansion? What narrative have you been told versus yourself and anyone else that they're undeserving of it, or you should have gotten it first? What race are you running? Who are you competing against? And these are serious questions that I need us to ask ourselves. Who are we trying to impress? What's the rush? You know? And this is the things that I just need us to face collectively. And of course, first and foremost, individually. Because if we're not going to represent, and of course, you know, I'm coming with the scripture. When the good book tells me to rejoice with those that rejoice, as if it were my own blessing, are you able to freely and without delay or without hesitation or without any kind of untoward feelings, are you able to celebrate and rejoice with them that rejoice as if it were your own accomplishment? Or do you delay? Or do you get angry at someone else's win? Or do you feel it messes up your schedule or the whatever imaginary race you're running to acquire? So here we go. I'm stitching, cutting with the right, stitching with the left. And that's what builds resilience. Having to come face to face with hard truths the kind of things that are there to delay our optimal growth, our optimal well-being, mentally and emotionally, and absolutely spiritually. Where are we with that? So cultural competition is a real thing. It's a real thing. In certain areas, and I'm going to give you the different types that we call it. In certain circles, you know, the more urban or the more, not so affluent circles, the terminology is given bad mind. I come from a Caribbean background. So for those of you who come from a Caribbean background, we know the term bad mind. We know the term grudgeful. We say it all the time. But it is a real thing. Sometimes it's overused. Sometimes it's used by people who are in the I told you so mindset, who are only acquiring and accomplishing things to have it, to throw it in your face. There are some deliberate people out there. Let's not forget that. But that word, what we call bad mind, grudgeful, pretentious, whatever it is, sometimes it's overused to those who are just diligently trying, who are just honestly trying to create a better way of life or to just finally step out into boldness to what they've been designed and called to do. That's where we have to be careful, where we tread in, bringing to the forefront cultural competition. Again, who are you running against? Who are you running with? So, on the flip side of that, when it comes to the other aspect of, just the imposter syndrome. Who do we try to become in order to try to obtain what they've obtained? In order to, have the same wow effect that they may have had? These are hard questions that we need to ask ourselves. Am I suffering from imposter syndrome? I will have another deeper talk significantly and separately for imposter syndrome. Especially for someone who's growing in business, who's growing in their brand, or who's growing just from a healing aspect and finding their voice. There will come those times when you're going to find yourself wondering if I'm doing what I'm doing is enough. Does it make sense? Does it add up to who I am as a person? Is my voice being heard? Or should I change or deflect my voice to match whoever else has a larger mass, a mass of followers or those who are inspired by them? Should I make it more like that? Or should I sound like him? Should I sound like her? These are real questions that a lot of us who are starting out or who have been in it for a while and are thinking that things aren't working or just watching other people do it and trying to cookie cut in order to try to get the same results. That is not how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. How we really how do we really create impact? How do we really create a sense of a firm stance of who you are to who you're presenting yourself to? It's by always staying connected to your calling, always stay connected to your why. Always remind yourself of your first love for whatever it is that you're doing. And I guarantee you, you will always find new levels of inspiration, unique and specific to you, levels of inspiration that will keep you relevant. And that's a talk that I have every once in a while with my VIP group. A lot of stuff that I do, I don't advertise. I don't know why, but I just love the beauty of being able to cover my clients in confidentiality by not advertising too much what I do. But when I do have conversations with my VIP group, I always implore the want and the need to stay relevant specifically to your calling. And that's the prayer, that's the mindset, that's the mantra that you need to have in your daily walk of growing and discovering and exploring the beauty and the uniqueness of who God has called you to be. And when we're dealing with cultural competition, someone like me can see it from a mile away and just smile. Because to me, it's futile. It makes no sense. It has no effect on me. And my question is to you, who are you running against? Rather, and then who do you need to just be running with? We just need to run the race together, standing shoulder to shoulder, knowing that I have something significant that can reach a certain amount of people. You have something significant that can reach someone else. And if together, if we are aware of what each other's gifts are, we can say, all right, I might not be able to reach you the way you need to be reached, but my brother right there has exactly what you need. You can call on him, and I'll have no qualms about it. I will not flinch in being able to celebrate the growth and celebrate the ability to share the beauty of who you are and what you have to offer. What's the competition? And what is the reward in that level of cultural competition? You tell me the prize, because I don't know. What is the prize that you're going after in being silent when someone else wins? In not being in a rejoicing state of mind when someone finally passes the brink of destruction or self-degradation or lack of confidence or not being able to heal? How is it benefiting you in your race? If not saying you can do it, you can make a next step, you can grow, you can heal, you can be something greater than what you are right now. How has cultural competition helped you? Let me know if there's some kind of prize that I wasn't aware of. I still wouldn't even consider being a part of that race. The only competition you should have is within yourself, for yourself, regarding yourself, by constantly doing self-evaluations of where you are, where you need to be, things that might be hindering you, ways of thinking that might be causing you to drag your feet, by being distracted in a negative way, rather than being empowered by someone else's accomplishments. Let the things that someone else has was able to overcome, let their testimony be your fuel. Okay? Let their testimony be your fuel. And continue to aspire to inspire from a pure place and from a place of integrity and from a place of pure intention. For me, that's my daily prayer. Normally, like I said, when I'm doing my podcast, I really don't have anything scripted. If I were to take a picture of my notebook, all I have in my calendar, podcast episode 8 from March 6th, and last night was the time I wrote in the topic, cultural competition. Can we all really stand to see each other win? That's all I have for my notes for today's talk. Everything else, I ask God to please let me be inspired to aspire. So, with that being said, I'm not going to bore you. I'm not going to go much further. But I want us to really allow all of this to digest and resonate. Repeat this, record this, as much as you need to to see if there's any part of cultural competition, unnecessary competition, within the way how you respond and react to the growth and the beauty of others. Because at the end of the day, all it's going to create is a beautiful garden if we just allow each other to grow and just be that source of sunshine, water, warmth, reception, and just encouragement, right? To one another. My mother always tells me, I thought it was a scripture until she told me. She's like, no, I just used to say it. She used to say, always says, encouragement sweetens labor. Encouragement sweetens labor. And like I tell you, I always thought it was some kind of scripture she said until I was looking for it. And I said, Mom, I don't see encouragement sweetens labor in the Bible. She said it's not, but it's truth. When you're able to water someone else's garden, even when it means that you have to kind of shift the water from your garden to somewhere else just to see them grow because you see their potential, it's not going to rob you from anything. Because God will see your good works. He will bless you. He will restore. He will reward. And I'm a witness of that. This month is a hard month, and I'm going to wrap up like I said. But the reason why I'm always intentional about giving and of being of support is because I was taken to the places spiritually and emotionally where I had to give and coach and pour into while I was standing in my own dead situation, literally. And I'll explain that in another episode. But when you're able to give from a place and support and just rejoice for someone's final breakthrough, final, you know, just that door has finally been opened and you can share the joy with them with seeking nothing in return. That's one of the many amazing ways you too can be a disruptor of cultural competition. So like I said, I'm going to wrap it up again. I'm going to wrap it up. I am done. But thank you so much for listening to me. I pray whatever I said today will resonate with you. Whatever parts belong to you, I pray it transforms you and brings you to a place of healing, growth, and discovery. And that you too can grow from wounded to wonderful. Of course, I'm yours truly, Angie McDonald. I'm your resilience, grief support, and transitional coach for wounded to wonderful. And also, I am your nonprofit empowerment strategist, workshop facilitator, and calibration specialist with I Am Consulting, where I'm now serving internationally, giving and facilitating the needs to your nonprofit organization, faith-based, or community initiative. If you need to reach me, of course, Angie@wounded2wonderful.com. You can find me on Instagram. I am Angie McDonald or wounded2wonderfulcoaching. And Facebook, Mrs. Angie McDonald. And LinkedIn, Mrs. Angie McDonald. I'm here to serve. I am ready to serve. And I'm glad that you are here with me another week. Episode 8, New Beginnings. Episode 8, New Beginnings. Of ridding ourselves and being disruptors of cultural competition. It was my pleasure to speak with you, and I'm blessed to have this opportunity. Until next week, we'll talk. Bye-bye now.